You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Director Chai Ling Huang will be releasing her mini-documentary, Asian Men Talk About Sex, today on the website Loading Docs. The documentary will discuss the desexualization of Asian men and gave 8 Asian men the forum to be able to openly talk about sex. First, I asked her to explain the documentary.
It's about 8 Asian men of different ethnicities and different ages talking candidly about their sexual experiences and about how Asian men are perceived sexually in the media and in their everyday life.
And so what was the purpose of this documentary?
The purpose of the documentary, so we started off with the provocation of diversity from the Loading Docs team. And so we were looking out at the media that already exists in New Zealand television and film, and we realized that it's extremely shallow on the Asian men scale. There's a few Asian women who are kicking ass up there, like Roseanne Liang, Linda Shanwei Earl, especially in theatre circles, which are the ones that I work in. But there was nothing to do with Asian men. And we started looking at all the stereotypes that kind of exist. And what it all boils down to is demasculization and emasculation and desexualization. So in order to kind of create a new narrative, we thought, why not go straight to the source and have everyday dudes talking about sex?
So what are some of these just examples of negative stereotypes you found in New Zealand media?
Well, I think it's more of a lack of representation than anything else. So we kind of had a bit of a canvas. There's a couple of characters on Shortland Street. One is a villain, kind of CEO character. The other is a gay dude, which is fine. He was on for about 6 months. And then we have, there's like a biracial new weatherman. Does a really good job. And the spray and walk away guy. And Raybon Khan, who is like the most, pops up the first and the most in terms of Google searches when you're looking for who are the famous Asian dudes on TV or who are any Asian guys on TV in New Zealand. He's kind of holding down the fort at the moment.
And how important is it to have Asian men being represented more in the media as more sexual beings?
I think it's important because sex is a really unifying experience and it humanizes people. And I think at the moment, the way that Asian men are being portrayed, they are being dehumanized by being reduced down to stereotypes like the tech nerd and kind of weak or non-masculine figures. Not to say that it's a bad thing to be, you know, not masculine or feminine in any way. It's just that there is no diverse narrative except for that one kind of nerdy stereotype, which I think is really damaging. It's really important to portray Asian men and all human beings in a diverse range of roles so that we don't have these damaging effects of people growing up with a lack of confidence in themselves, and also for other people who are not of that race to be able to perpetrate those harmful stereotypes and have, you know, quite long-lasting effects on the way that they perceive people. You know, having these interviews with these guys, like, it does make a huge difference what you see in the media. It does make a huge difference what people say about you and how people perceive you. And that also applies to sex and dating. So, yeah, I think it's incredibly important to flip that script.
I noticed when I was watching, there was a lot of different representations on screen. Was that something that you were really conscious of when you were making it?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the challenge was that Loading Docs is an amazing platform in the way that they mentor you really fully to create this documentary. One of the challenges is that it's only 3 minutes long. So when we embarked on this, we really wanted to, within kind of our own diverse topic, make the documentary as diverse as possible, because there's no one Asian man narrative. So yes, we looked at different ethnicities and different ages. It was a little bit harder to find older men because of the demographic that we as filmmakers are. A lot of the guys in the film are friends and family. So the older guy in the doco is my dad, and a lot of the people are friends and co-workers, which made it a lot easier to kind of have those difficult or interesting conversations. But yes, it was really important. We have lots of different kind of sexual orientations as well. We actually interviewed 10 guys, and we have over 7 hours of footage. So we're hoping to continue the conversation in some way and create more content from what we shot.
And any final comments you want to make?
I would just say I think that this is a story that really needs to be told. The tide is turning in terms of representation and diverse stories, but it definitely is not at a place where it's mainstream yet. So I think the most important thing and the most powerful thing about media like this is that the more that you share it, the more that you like it, the more that you pass it around, we can begin to change the narrative and we can actually make a difference. So if you share it as much as possible, it's a great start for us to continue making content like this and continue to pull out voices that have been lost or squashed for a long time.
Next, I spoke with one of the men who participated in the documentary, comedian James Roque. I asked him what the intended effect of the documentary was.
Well, we just wanted to have sort of put into the forefront the fact that Asian men have had their sexuality stripped away from them through various ways, like in particular media and film and TV. And basically what we wanted is people to just go away and go, holy shit, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even realize that was a thing, because the more conversations I have about it with other people, the more I realize people don't know. Like, people just don't realize it, and it's just, like, the norm. And so it's to sort of challenge that and make people think that, is that okay? That is the norm? Asians are either not sexualized or fetishized. Like, is there, like, a healthy sexual attraction that you can have with an Asian person, men and women? But, yeah.
And can you give any examples of how your race has impacted your sexuality or your sex life in the past?
Yeah, sure. So Tinder is friggin' hard. I don't know if you can swear, but Tinder is really hard for an Asian or Indian man in New Zealand and in the Western world. When I was single and I was on Tinder, I would constantly, you know, I'd be going through and you'd see profiles that say no Asians or Indians, straight up. Like, there's no, I mean, I appreciate the boldness and I kind of I have like a weird respect for how boldly racist that is to put on there. Yeah, so that Tinder's hard for an Asian man. Yeah, so the Tinder experience for Asian men and Asian women is very different. So the Asian male experience of Tinder is, you know, less matches and it's the fucking mountain. You gotta climb a mountain. The Tinder experience for an Asian woman is like, they're just overly sexualized. Like, it's awful. Like, yeah, so that's very opposite ends of the spectrum. Because, yeah.
Do you think that's a conversation you'll have in future documentaries about how women are overtly sexualized, Asian women?
Well, that's, I was actually, yeah, talking to Chai Ling about it, and it kind of came up in conversation. She's like, oh, I might do a sequel that's Asian women talk about sex, and it's how they experience it. Because it is, like I said, it's a spectrum, and we sit on the complete opposite ends of it. And it's really interesting sort of to see why that is. You know, what were the social, I guess,
instigators?
Yeah, instigators that put us there. Yeah, and just to sort of try and pack that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what do you think the instigators are? How did these stereotypes come out about?
I think, you know what? This is a question. I was having dinner with my sister last night, and we were talking about it, and it's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is. Like, it's at the very core and base of it, I think it's something to do with power and sort of, you know, like when you desexualize someone, you take away power from them. You take away confidence. You take away, you know, self-esteem and all that stuff. So I think it must at their very core have something to do with that. And the same thing with the sort of fetishization of Asian females as well. I think it's got like this sort of like, because you got that stereotype that, you know, the Asian women are very submissive or very, you know, or don't. Yeah. And so I think it's very strongly linked to that as well. Yeah, I still, that's a work in progress. And I think it's sort of a question that I try to have as an art, like as someone who makes art moving forward as well, like, and sort of examine that.
Mm.
Yeah.
And how do you think people such as myself or people of other races can kind of combat that?
I think it's just like, it's doing things like, you know, like you don't, everyone, here's the thing, everyone has sexual preference, right? And just because you're not attracted to a race, or not a race, but not attracted to someone, that doesn't mean you're a bad person, you're a racist. But it's questioning, like, you know, why is that? What are the things that make me not attracted to that person? Like, is it something to do with our chemistry, or is it something more insidious and something that's sort of been built into my head subconsciously over time? You know, like, you growing up, you didn't see attractive Asian dudes in movies. Like, they were just like the nerd or the funny friend, but they were never like the romantic lead. Obviously, like, you watch years and years and years of that, then you're never gonna think that sort of, it's automatically assumed that they're not like a viable sexual partner. And so it's just, yeah, sort of questioning things, like, and questioning whether or not it's your own personal taste, or if it's something that's sort of been programmed into you, like, without you even knowing. And also, like, things like, don't put, like, no Asians or Indians. Like, give people a chance, man. People are people. That's such a superficial way to operate. And I know, like, we live in an age where it's like, you have to have it now. And so Tinder's like, you got to get matches, and so you got to take shortcuts. But you don't know. Have a jam. That's another thing that I'd say, is that, like, I don't know, if you're a white girl, have a jam. You don't know. You don't know what you're missing out on. You could, like, you know, I do stand-up comedy, so, like, this is prime, you know, it's easy pickings for stand-up. But I always say, like, I have this bit where I'm like, white girls, just have a jam, because you don't know. You just don't know. Like, what if you like it? Remember, like, you last time you went to, like, a Chinese restaurant, and you tried, like, something that looked really scary, and you ate it, and you're like, wow, that's quite good. That could be all of us. That could be us. You don't know. Yeah.
And so where can people find this documentary?
I believe, so it will be online today, from today onwards. I believe it's on the Loading Docs website, but it's also on the Proudly Asian Theatre website. So that's proudlyasiantheatre.com. And if you find us on Facebook, it'll be all over there as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.